And as I read the story in the Song of Solomon, she was just as clean and pure on the inside as she was beautiful on the outside. You know, and this isn't in my message. I just throw it in for nothing for you this morning. You know, we have people today say that young ladies can't grow up in this world and be clean and pure and virgin. I mean, they point to all the filth and the garbage that comes across the TV screen, that's published in magazines, that comes across the radio waves. And you don't have to tune your radio far to hear some vulgar song or some guy speaking wickedly or some a rock. And I don't want to get off on rock music, but you better be careful if you let your kids listen to rock music, what you're letting them listen to. And some people say today, you can't, a young lady can't grow up in this day and age and be clean and be pure and be virgin. And I say to those people this morning, you got holes in your head. A young lady can be raised in 1991 and live clean and pure and holy and right before God. You can do it. Some young ladies here this morning. And let me say to you, as you walk down the aisle in the future, dressed in white on your wedding day, that gown, that white gown, ought to represent your purity. It ought to represent your cleanness. It ought to represent your virginity. And as you come to this altar and you place your arm on the hand of that man who's to be your husband, you ought to be able to look up at him and say to him, I've saved myself to you, for you. I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm a virgin, and I've saved myself to you. And some of you, I can hear you say it. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, that's just old-fashioned. Well, what's the matter with being old-fashioned? What's the matter with, we need some more old-fashionedness in 1991. We need some more old-fashioned decency and some more old-fashioned honesty and some more old-fashioned purity. We got too many new virtues. We got too many new moral standards. We got too many new Bibles. Hear me? I'll say it again. We got too many new things, and we need to get back to some of the old things, the old-fashioned decency and the old-fashioned honesty and the old-fashioned purity. Now, I didn't mean to get off on that. I just threw that in for nothing. Now, get back to the message. Shunem. Little country, hill country, Shunem. It was north of the Sea of Galilee, south of Mount Carmel. Remember, Mount Carmel was where Elijah called down fire from heaven. And here lives this beautiful young lady, clean and pure. Now, she has a boyfriend, a sweetheart. The second member of our cast this morning, as I tell you the story of the Song of Solomon. And that's what the Song of Solomon is all about. It's about the wonderful romance that this young lady had with her sweetheart. He was a young lad. He was a shepherd lad. And he lives up in the hills. And as was wont to do for a shepherd, he took care of sheep. And he was the sweetheart of this young lady. Oh, and by the way, let me just point out to you as I read the Bible that this young man was also clean, pure, and virgin. He was as pure on the inside as he was handsome on the outside. And I just, since I've talked about the young ladies, let me talk about the young men for a minute. And again, this is not in my message, but you know, people say today it's that young men can't grow up and be pure and clean. And my dear friend, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants to hand you the line and the lie that you've got to be just like the world. And I want to tell you, that lie comes straight out of the pits of hell. A young man can grow up in 1991 and be clean and be pure just like they did in 1951. You see, this book hasn't changed. Our God hasn't changed. Truth hasn't changed. Right hasn't changed. What's wrong hasn't changed. And what's black and what's white hasn't changed. We sing a little song. Might as well sing again. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, he never changes. And his moral standards never change. And a young man in 1991 can grow up and be pure and be clean and be a virgin as he stands at the wedding altar. And in 1991, by the way, we need some young men and young women that'll make that commitment. That'll decide, I'm going to live clean. I'm going to live pure. You know what? That'll solve the AIDS problem. That'll solve the abortion problem. That'll solve it. It'll solve it. Just some young... young people that will say, I'm going to live clean, I'm going to live pure. So, let me get back to the story here. Shepherd boy, beautiful young lady, they're going to get married. They were sweethearts, so much in love. I mean, you think about all the romantic stories you've ever heard, this is one of them. They were in love with one another, and they were going to get married. And one day, the shepherd boy has to go on a trip, and he leaves. And while he's away, she misses him greatly. I mean, you've read about the sweetheart pining for her love. That's exactly what she did. She just missed him, and she thought about him every day and every moment. Now, while he was gone, something strange happens. King Solomon comes to Shunem. He was the king of Israel. So he comes to this little hill country, and he sees this beautiful young lady. Now, Solomon was the one that, the Bible says, the wisest man has ever lived, and I've never understood how God could call him that. He had 700 wives. And any man that had 700 wives, I don't see how God could call him wise, but God called him wise. 700 wives. That's too many. I'll tell you right now, too many. One's enough, but 700 wives, 300 concubines. And Solomon came to Shunem, and he saw this beautiful young lady, and he says, I'd like to have her for my wife. I'd like to have her to be the queen. Now, you understand, it'll only be a temporary thing. He already had 700 wives. He already had 700 queens. And what he wanted her to do was to join his harem. And Solomon in this story represents the devil. In a very lustful and immoral way, he comes to this young lady and says, I want you to be my wife. I want you to join my harem. You know, that's what the devil does to us today. The devil comes to every single person in this room, every little boy and girl that's back there in the junior church, and the devil says, I want you. I want your decency. I want your purity. I don't want you to be clean. I want you. And this morning, I want to sound a warning to you. The devil doesn't have to get you. Don't give the devil your life. Don't give him your purity. Don't give him your cleanness. And I think this morning, we ought to start a campaign against the devil. In fact, I may start it. We're going to start a campaign against the devil. And every Sunday school teacher that teaches in Sunday school ought to work it into every lesson. They ought to take those little boys and those little girls and work it into their lesson and start them in the nursery as the baby's laying down in the bed. Say, you be clean. You be pure. You live for God. You do what's right. As they grow up into the primaries, into the juniors. Every teacher we have ought to spend some time in every lesson. Look, the Bible says, you be clean, you be pure, you live for God. You do what's right. Don't let the devil have you. Wednesday night, when they meet in junior in the children's program on Wednesday night, every once in a while, the teachers ought to stand up and say, the Bible says, those young people, and they ought to stand up and say, the Bible says, you be clean, you be pure, you live for God, you do what's right. Every once in a while, those kids ought to hear their preacher get up and just throw a fit and spit. That's why nobody sits on the front row, Fred. I spit. But every once in a while, the preacher ought to get up and throw a fit and spit and jump up and down and say to the young people, you be clean, you be pure, you be chaste, you live for God, you do what's right. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, that's brainwashing. What do you think the devil's trying to do? What do you think the devil's trying to do when he beams those programs into your home on the TV? What do you think the devil's trying to do when he publishes those magazines with the dirty pictures? What do you think the devil's trying to do with the rock music and the things that our kids are exposed to today? He's trying to brainwash them into saying live for him and to give up their purity and to give up their rightness with him. And we ought to start a campaign against the devil and say, you're not going to get our kids. We're going to teach them to live clean. And we're going to teach them to live pure. And we're going to teach them to do what's right. We ought to do it. Solomon comes and he says, I want you. I want you to be my wife. And this little Shunammite girl, she says, oh, your majesty. Your majesty. Thank you. But no thanks. All I want is my little shepherd boy. And Solomon says, but just a minute. You don't understand. This chariot I ride in has the royal seal on it. I'm the king. I want you to be my wife. She said, oh, thank you, your majesty, but no thank you. All I want's my little shepherd boy. But Solomon says, young lady, you don't understand. The wardrobe that I could give you, the clothes that I could buy you, you just can't imagine what kind of dresses I can dress you in. And this little Shunammite girl says, your majesty, I don't want a wardrobe. I don't want a wardrobe. All I want's my little shepherd boy. Just my little shepherd boy. And King Solomon says, well, you ought to see the house that I'm going to have you live in. The house that you live in now just fit in one corner of the house you're going to live in. It's a palace. It's a mansion. It's where the king lives. I want you to come and live in my house with me. And this little Shunammite girl says, oh, thank you, your majesty, but no thank you. All I want is my little shepherd boy. That's all I want. He may be poor. He can't buy me pretty dresses. And we may not live in a big house, but he's the only thing I want. I just want my little shepherd boy. And Solomon says, but you don't understand. I'm offering you a throne. You're going to be the queen. You're going to rule the land with me. And she says, I don't want to rule the land. I just want my little shepherd boy. And Solomon says, but just think about all the pleasure and all the fun you'd have. Private concerts. And private private bands and private operas. I mean, you'll have people to come in and they'll entertain just you. And this little Shunammite girl says, thank you, your majesty, but I don't want the private operas. I don't want the private bands. I don't want the private concerts. All I want is my little shepherd boy. Solomon says, but you'll be famous. Your name will be known all over the land. You'll be the first lady in the land. People will look to you when they call your name. They'll know you. And this little Shunammite girl says, I don't want the fame. I don't want the popularity. I don't want to be known to every person in the land. I don't want to be the first lady in the land. All I want is my shepherd boy. And Solomon says, but you'll have power. You'll hold the scepter. You'll rule. You'll be a powerful lady, the most powerful lady on earth. And she says, I don't want power. I don't want the power. All I want is my little shepherd boy. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning we have a shepherd. And he loves us like this young shepherd boy loved this young girl. And just like he wanted her, our shepherd wants us. And the world comes to us this morning and says, look at what I can give you. I can give you the fame, and I can give you the power, and I can give you the money, and I can give you the popularity. And we need to say to Satan, we don't want it! We don't want it! All we want is our shepherd. All we want is the great shepherd. All we want is Jesus. Devil, you can keep the money, and you can keep the popularity, and you can keep the power. Keep the whole world, but give me Jesus. That's what this little Shunammite girl said. She said, Solomon, take your money, all I want is my little shepherd boy. Take your popularity, all I want is my little shepherd boy. Take your power and take all your pleasure, all I want is my little shepherd boy. The world comes this morning, and with that alluring finger, the world says, hey, look at what I can give you. I can give you all this money. I can give you treasures. There's not enough money in the whole world to buy the peace that passeth understanding from knowing that you belong to God. The world with that finger says, hey, look at all the popularity I can give you. People will know you. When your name's called, people will know who you are. There's not enough fame the world can offer that compares to the fame of being known by Jesus and being His. And we need to look at the devil this morning. And we need to say, just like this little girl said, devil, take your money, take your power, take your pleasure, take your lands, take your houses, take your treasures. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world can offer. She turns down the king. She says, I don't want anything you have to offer. I just want my shepherd boy. The harem hears about this. The other 700 wives and 300 concubines causes quite a stir back at the palace. They get together. They said, we've got to go to Shunem. We've got to talk to this young lady that turned down the king. So the harem gets together. I can almost see it. Can you imagine 1,000 ladies trying to get ready to go somewhere at the same time? No offense, ladies. You're a lot prettier than we are, and we appreciate all that time you spend getting that way. But they get ready to go out to Shunem. They come up to this young lady, and they said, we've heard you turned down the king. Is that right? She said, yes. They said, why? Why did you turn down the king? She says, oh, I've got somebody that loves me. I've got a little shepherd boy. He's all I need, all I want. And they said, well, but, and notice what, let me read for you what she says. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Here's what they said to her after she said, I've got my little shepherd boy. He's all I need. The harem said to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? You know what they were saying to her? She turned down the king for her shepherd boy. They came, well, what's so hot about this shepherd boy? You've turned down the king. What? Tell us, what's so hot about him? Why would you give up the king and everything the king has to offer for him? You know, my dear friend, that's exactly what the world will say to us if we decide we're going to live for Jesus. If you tell the world to keep its money and to keep its power and to keep its popularity and houses and lands, if you tell the devil to keep all of that and you say, I'm going to live for Jesus, the world's going to come to you and say, what's so hot about Jesus? What? And you're going to be a unique person. Because most of the world lives for the world's money. Most of the people you know lives for the world's pleasure. Most of the people you know lives for the world's popularity. If you decide you're going to cast all that aside and live for Him, you're going to be different. And the world's going to come to you and say, why? Why aren't you in the rat race? Why aren't you seeking those things that the world seeks? Because you say, I've got a shepherd. His name is Jesus. He's all that I need. The world's going to say, well, what's so hot about Jesus? Tell us about Him. What's so hot about Him? Little girl says, they came to her. And they said, what's so hot about this little shepherd boy? Tell us about Him. She does. Chapter 5, listen to this. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with pearl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. When you start living for Jesus and the world comes to you and says, tell us about Him. What's so hot about Jesus? Tell Him! Tell Him! Tell Him how wonderful Jesus is. Tell Him how great salvation is. Don't be ashamed of Him. Don't be timid. He's altogether lovely. Let's tell the world. I read a story this week about a preacher that was preaching out on the West Coast. And he got on an airplane in Chicago to fly out to California to preach. And he gets on a plane and they show him to his seat. And he sets down over by the window, and a beautiful young lady comes down and sits beside him. And they get to talk and get to know one another. And he asks her, says, where are you going? And she says, California. He says, oh, you went on vacation? And she says, oh, no, I'm going to get married. And he says, oh, well, tell me about him. And she did for the next half hour. She told him all about him. And she was almost as much in love with him as this little girl was with her shepherd boy. When she gets done, she looks back at him and says, why are you going to California? He says, oh, I'm going for a wedding too. And a big smile comes to her face and she says, oh, you are? Whose? And he says, mine. He says, and she says, oh, your wedding. Tell me about her. And he says, it's not a her, it's a him. And her head jerks back. She says, well, I guess it is a modern age. And the preacher says, you told me about yours. Can I tell you about mine? He was born 2,000 years ago. He was born of a virgin. For 33 years, he walked the shores of Galilee and the sands of Judea. He never saw anybody he didn't love. He opened blind eyes, made the lame to walk, caused the deaf to hear, the dead to rise. He set little children on his lap and blessed them. For 33 years, he never sinned. Not one time did his eyes look where they shouldn't have looked. Not one time did his ears listen when they shouldn't have listened. Not one time did his feet ever trod a wicked path. He was the perfect Son of God. And after 33 years of living without sin, he went to a cross, and he died for my sin, and he died for your sin. And he said, any minute now, I'm expecting a trumpet to sound, and I'm going to meet him in the air. And that lady looked back at him and said, you sound religious to me. And he says, you're right. And he took his Bible, introduced her to Jesus. And then she was on her way to two weddings. What a wonderful story the Song of Solomon is. The king comes. He offers this little Shumanite girl who is in love with her little shepherd boy everything the world has to offer. She says, I don't want it. I don't want it. I just want my little shepherd boy. The harem hears about it and says, boy, this guy must be something. Tell us about him. She did. Notice what they said. Chapter 6, verse 1. Whether is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? You see, she described her shepherd boy to them, and they said, well, where's he at? We want to go to him too. Maybe we can be his. Where's he at? And my dear friend, when the world comes to you and says, what's so hot about Jesus? You ought to be able to describe him in such a way that they say the same thing. We sang that little song in Sunday school, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. Lord of Lords supreme, throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And as you talk about him, and as you describe the peace that you have from knowing him, and the love that you feel in his presence, and the joy that he gives you for salvation, you ought to talk about him so much that this is exactly what the world says. Where is he? Where is he? We want him too. And that's what they're looking for. The world's looking for Christians that are happier than they are. The world's looking for Christians that have more joy than they do. The world's looking for Christians that has more purpose than they do. And my dear friend, when you live for him, and when you say to the world, I don't want your money, I don't want your popularity, give me Jesus, I'd rather have him. The world's going to come and say, where is he? We want him too. We want him too. That was my introduction. Now for my message. Amen, right, Brother Hal? Let's get this thing over with. This little girl gets to meditating, talking to the harem. And she says, let me tell you about something my little shepherd boy did for me. He said, one time we went to a banquet. Just a whole lot of people and everybody was sitting there eating, just having a good time. We were having a good time. And all of a sudden I noticed people start looking at me. Look at me strangely. And they're looking above my head. And I turned around and looked above my head. And there was a banner that my little shepherd boy had put over me that said, I love you. I love you. She said, in front of that whole room of people, Just everybody was there. He had put a banner up over my place, the place where I was going to sit, that said, "I love you. I love you." And my dear friend, that's exactly what Jesus has done to you this morning. You can't look above your head and see it, but oh, I can. Every single person that's here, there's a little banner over your head. And Jesus has written on it in His blood, "I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." You ever doubt that God loves you, you think back to Bethlehem, where the Son of God gave up heaven and come to live with man, took the form of a man. You ever doubt He loves you, you think back to Gethsemane, where He prayed through the night, begging God to keep Him alive so He could go to the cross and die for you. You ever get to doubting where God loves you, you think as He stood before that soldier, and that soldier took that whip with 9 lashes on the end of it, with a piece of rock or a piece of stone tied to each end. And as that old Roman soldier drew back that whip and 39 times lashed the back of Jesus, each time that whip would wrap around His body, and each time those stones and that glass and those rocks would dig into His flesh, and as the soldier pulled it back, ripping off pieces of His flesh, He did that because He loved us. You get to doubt in the love of God, you think as His back was broken, as they laid that old heavy wooden rugged cross on His back, and He carried it up the hill of Golgotha, and as He struggled beneath the load and fell, and they finally had to get another person to carry it to the top of the hill, and as they laid Him on that cross, and they drove the nails through His feet and through His hands, and as they put that crown of thorns on His head, and as they drove the spear into His side, and He suffered like no person has ever suffered. The Bible says that when you looked at Him on the cross, you couldn't see that He was a person. You couldn't recognize a human form. He was the King of Kings. He had no crown but a crown of thorns. The King of Kings, no scepter but a walking stick. The King of Kings, no robe but a borrowed overcoat. The King of Kings, no subjects but a jeering crowd. The King of Kings, no crown but a crown of thorns. He says to you this morning, "I love you. I love you. I love you." I don't know any better news than that to tell you this morning. God loves you. God loves you. Of the themes that men have known, one supremely stands alone. Through the ages it has shown. It's this wonderful, wonderful love. Love is the theme. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows, glory bestows. Bright as the sun, ever it glows. Love is the theme, eternal theme. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commended or proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died with us. I like that song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain a whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God says to you this morning, "I love you." He says, and I don't know how to tell you exactly, except to put in the Bible a little story about a little Shumanite girl and her shepherd boy, and how one time He took her to a banquet and stretched out over her a banner that says, "I love you." God loves you this morning. He loves you. As an individual, He loves you. You say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, you don't know the sin that I'm in." He still loves you. You say, "Well, you don't know the kind of life that I lead." He loves you. He loves you. You say, you don't know what I've been into lately. You don't know what I've done recently. He loves you. And He says to you this morning, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy." He loves you. And that little banner that's over your head this morning says those three of the most wonderful words that mankind can ever hear from the mouth of a holy God. "I love you. I love you." Father, thank You for that love. Thank you that you put stories like this in the Bible to help us understand how much you do love us. And Father, I pray now for those that are here that have never received that love. They've never reached out and they've never taken what Jesus did for them on Calvary. Father, I pray that you'd speak to them in a special way right now. You'd help them understand that they are a sinner. Before the court of God, they stand guilty. They stand judged to spend an eternity apart from you. Father, help them to also understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying to pay for their sin. The only thing they have left for them to do is just to reach out and receive it and take it. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, you'd help them to understand these things and this morning receive them. And then, Father, I pray for Christians that are here that need to make other decisions, be it for baptism, for church membership. Maybe it's to give up something and start living for God. I pray as we, in the next couple of moments, that you would speak to hearts and speak to minds. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, no one's looking around. Let me just ask this one simple question. If you're here this morning and you can say, Brother Darrell, I don't know for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure Jesus is my Savior. And I wish you'd pray for me in a special way when you pray. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Just slip your hand up. Nobody's looking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you. I see that one. Is there another one? Anybody else say, Brother Darrell, I don't know for sure that Jesus is mine. Thank you. I see that one. I see that one. Thank you. Any others? Now, Holy Spirit, you've seen these hands. Precious souls that don't know for sure that Jesus is theirs. Would you speak to them this morning? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you do a work in their life this morning? Let them know how much God loves them. Let them know how much Jesus loves them when he went to the cross and he died for their sin. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help them come. And this morning, know for sure that Jesus is theirs. Know for sure that heaven is theirs. And we'll be sure that when we get done, all the praise and all the glory go to him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.